let's get to it.
What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
Who's got questions? I've got answers.
Okay, so Batman Origins. I'm sorry, Arkham Origins. Like this is taken. Where does this take place in its course between the last three Arkham games?
As an origin story, we're a prequel, so this would be you obviously have Batman Year One. This would be more like Batman Year Two. So the Batman that we're going to see, as well as the Joker, are less refined versions of what we've seen. But obviously, the Arkham franchise has been so successful, we don't want to steer away, we want to steer towards. So the established lore and the established Arkham universe within like Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, that's where we're steering this ship towards. So you can believe that this is the Batman and the Joker and all the other iterations of the characters that you will have seen in later games.
Especially with the Joker, like Mark Hamill has been like big.
Poop myself on a daily basis. I mean, that was my Joker. That is my Joker. That's who I grew up, and no one has held that, has been the crown prince of crime for longer than he has, 25 years. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing that I can do to add or top or even compete. I simply want to, it's almost more of an homage. I'm not doing an impersonation of Mark, okay? As much as I would love to do that. What we're showing is the Joker, and like where I pull my quintessential elements of the Joker from is like the Killing Joke, Arkham Asylum, the graphic novel, when you really get to see the depths and the complexity of who that character is. So that's all I really focused on, and intrinsically because of how I grew up and what Joker I was raised with, that's gonna come out that way. And again, we wanna point to what you've seen in Asylum and in City and Batman the Animated Series and everything else you've heard with Kevin and Mark. But it's by no means, I'm not doing an impersonation of Mark and he's not doing an impersonation of Kevin.
On that same note, so you talked about how you were inspired by certain graphic novels and Mark was a Joker that you grew up with. When crafting your version, what types of inspiration did you use to come up with the voice or the mindset of your particular take?
Go right back to that, because especially that monologue in The Killing Joke, I think is such a good cross-section of who the Joker is, when he's talking to Gordon, when he's going through the carnival ride.
Okay.
That to me is like, if you've ever wanted to know, everything you wanted to know about Joker that you can know about Joker is in that monologue. So I always kind of go back to that, and really the writing that we have in our game, it's just so in canon. And makes sense, and there's never a line where you're like, you wouldn't say this. It sounds like you can see it written in a panel, and you can hear it being voiced. So it really was just being honest, and never doing anything that felt false, as actory as that sounds. And you rely heavily on your team. Amanda White, who was our voice director, Eric Holmes, our game director, you trust those guys to go, we're getting a little too far outside, or you're going too close to. Let's make sure that you're not, we don't want it to sound like Mark did now. We want it to sound like this is the Joker then. We've got years to cover. So let's pull it back a little bit. So it's just really being honest and trusting your team.
When it comes to the Joker especially, everybody has their own unique, it's the voice, it's also the laugh also.
Yeah.
So where did you draw your inspiration for the voice is one thing, but the laugh is something else. You have to have it sinister.
You know what it is? You have to be willing to throw up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I may vomit on this one. or I may never be able, I may not be able to talk after this. I don't know how Mark has done it for so long. Mm. It is draining. And it's not just the laugh, that's a dark place, man. To go into that mindset and be able to effectively and honestly say those words, you don't want to hang out in that place. It's like, going to a cemetery at midnight is cool with your girlfriend because you want to give her the heebie-jeebies so she gives you a hug, but you don't want to live there. You want to get in, get out, and get, mm-hmm. in both ways, get in. Anyway, I'll explain when you're older. But that's, it was draining, and the laugh is kind of like the manifestation of that. There were a lot of times when it was like, I don't have any more in me. And again, that really speaks highly of people like Mark, John DiMaggio, who did it Under the Red Hood. John can laugh all day long, and for me, laughing is like one of my biggest challenges. So when I got this thing, I was like, I got to learn how to laugh. You know, and so it was, this thing has really been a challenge for me, man, and hopefully it resonates with people.
You talked a little bit about how it's a dark role. How do you sort of leave that at work and just sort of go home? You know, do you find it challenging at all when you play something that's dark?
Sure. A lot of it will depend on what your workload for the day was. You know, if you're doing, hey, we just got to do some call-outs because you've got this going on in-game, whatever, it's a little bit easier to kind of leave that at the office. When it's stuff that it was this much of text, but this much of complexity and what's what it means to the story, yeah, there's a little bit of residual. You know, you're leaving the Warner Brothers lot going, okay, all right, let's watch some cartoons. Let's just do, yeah, I'm me. You know, and the guard is going, you okay? I'm good. You cry? No. You know? So it's it just depends on what the workload of the day was. But it was interesting those times when my wife would look at me and go, who? Troy? I know Troy's in there. I need to see Troy. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's acting, you know? You want to do good by the role. So, what else? You haven't asked anything.
What was your reaction when the offer was first thrown out there? Because I know, like, Booker and Joel were like brand new characters that you could really play with, but obviously the Joker is this huge, well-known, yes, like fan favorite character. So is it kind of like you get the phone call and you're just like, wait, what?
I can give you a visual representation. Would you like to see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, are you kidding me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're down at Comic-Con, San Diego, 2 years ago, and we were at this bar, and they were like, how would you feel about this? And I went, no. No, first of all, disbelief. There's no way you're going to offer it to me. You're offering somebody else. But it was the team. It was Ames Cushing, who's the, you know, VP of Warner Brothers Interactive, sitting down with me and going, dude, we believe you can do this. Just you can do it. Just get over yourself, and let's do it. And again, trusting Eric Holmes, our team, Amanda White, our director, and just being able to go, I may be scared shitless, and I may go down in flames, but I'm going to go down fighting. And hopefully that's what you guys see on October 25th.
You're cool. 3 minutes.
Is anybody else any questions? Are we good?
Sure.
3 minutes.
Well, that's such a good button. You can't plan for that.
You first.
Well, I mean, since this is a brand new Joker that you're definitely introducing to the series, like, was there anything that you like that you added to the character, to the level of personification towards
you
him?
I think that when you start adding to stuff, it can come across false. You know, this isn't a painting; it's a sculpture. And Michelangelo started with a block of marble, and he chipped away to create the David. You know, and I think that if you start adding on to it, it there's maybe some ego involved with that. When you have a character, you know, that's especially dealing with an established character. If you've got like a new, like a Joel, you're going to have to peel away those layers and everything else you're supposed to do. But then you've got to go, what about this? And you add this level of complexity, but that's something new. When you've got a character that's been iterated on by 8 actors, minimum, maybe I'm forgetting some, from Cesar Romero to Jack Nicholson to Heath Ledger, Mark Hamill, John DiMaggio, Kevin Michael Richardson, I mean, all these people, what am I going to add to that? What am I going to bring to that? Nothing. All I can do is really be dialed in and be rooted in who that character is and maybe peel something away and show you something you've never seen, but it was always there. What about you?
Just the, based on the voice acting for both the characters in general, what do you feel would be your greatest advice to anybody that wants to do voice acting? Or how do you feel like you, what do you, like, if I'm going to go to school for it, what do I have to take?
Most popular question. I would say whatever word precedes acting, chop off. It's acting. You've got to focus on your chops and learning that craft. As again, actory as that sounds. Learn about how to peel away layers for a character. Learn how to be, you know, come from an honest place. How to interpret a script. How to be able to look at a page and understand where you're at in that story. It doesn't matter if it's behind a mic, in front of a stage, in front of a camera. You need to understand the process of performing a character and of acting. And I think that a lot of times we limit ourselves because people say, I want to be a voice actor, when it's like they would be a phenomenal stage actor or a film actor. Well, no, I want to do voice. But dude, you look great on camera. Or inversely, I want to be a film actor. You really probably should just be behind a mic. You know, there are those people too. So I would just say focus on acting. Get involved in theater. That'll teach you how to build a character from the ground up. Learn the business end of a mic. I mean, before I would say do radio. You know, whether it be car commercials, is how I got my start, or every, you know, city has a local radio station, even if it's a college station. You can learn how you sound on a mic on that way if you want. Or everyone's doing podcasts now. Learn how to speak into a microphone, you know. But those are just techniques, man. That's not a skill. Those are just learning how to hone your skill. But
those classes are like chorus would help with like to control your voice or like control the pitch or like how high or low you can go.
Yeah, I guess. You know, it can't hurt. But what I'm cautious of are people who say, take my class and I will teach you how to become a voice actor. How are you gonna do that? And honestly, bro, if it's anything to learn from this game or Call of Duty or BioShock Infinite or whatever, you can try to control as much as you want. But if you want that performance to really punch through, you gotta be willing to let it bleed and to leave it all on the stage. And there were plenty of times when I came home and it's like, oh God. You know, like a stunt performer, you can learn how to take a hit, but you're still gonna get hit, you know? So you can learn how to roll, but how many stunt guys here are like, you know, never bruised anything, never broken a bone. Stunt guys get hurt. So I'm gonna move on. Guys, yes.
Amazing.
Sure.